In the middle of the school year, Hayden Dallop was at home in Miami Gardens when he got a call from his daughter.
She said, "Daddy, hurry up." She was crying. "Hurry up, hurry up. Come to the school."
The phone call home came after a fight with another student.
I said, "What's going on? What's going on? Please come to the school because they suspended me."
Dallop went to Andover Middle to talk with school administrators.
I said, "Why no one called me?" He gave me the runaround. They spoke to me and said, "Your daughter's suspended for 10 days, effective today. She won't be back until a certain day."
Dallop says the school didn't give him anything in writing, which is required by state law. The Miami-Dade School District stopped allowing schools to make out-of-school suspensions 2 years ago. As a result, students like Dallop's daughter are supposed to get the opportunity to go to alternative programs called Success Centers, where they can get counseling and academic support.
No one has ever mentioned that to me, that no student is not supposed to get suspended anymore. Never, 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 never. And I'm pretty sure most of those parents out there don't know it either.
The school principal didn't return calls seeking comment. District administrators declined to do an interview for this story. Dallop says his daughter served 2 10-day out-of-school suspensions. Being gone from the classroom for that long would have flagged his daughter as having excessive absences. The year the district's no-suspension rule went into effect, the number of excessive absences skyrocketed district-wide, from about 33,000 to well over 50,000. Were those students with excessive absences suspended off the books? It's unclear. Part of that number could be explained by the way the district records attendance at its alternative programs. If students are removed from school and go to the Success Centers, they're marked with a special code. If they don't go, they're marked absent. Bernie Perlmutter runs the Children and Youth Law Clinic at University of Miami. He says Florida law suggests those absences should be considered suspensions.
The school district may be proclaiming that we have eliminated out-of-school suspension as we know it, but in fact, it's just come back under another name, and it's not being properly reported to the state.
Still, even that would only account for a fraction of the 20,000 additional excessive absences recorded throughout the year. The school district speculates that jump could be explained by principals doing a better job reporting attendance at their schools. But it's also consistent with what parents, teachers, and students at more than a half dozen schools have told WLRN, that kids are being sent home for behavior without being marked suspended. Jocelyn Guerrero has 2 kids at Georgia Jones Ayers Middle School. How is it they can suspend your kid and then you'll get an automated call from the school saying he was absent for 3 days, she asks. Stories like this have come up all over the country in school districts that have tried to make big changes to school discipline policies quickly. The trend goes back a few years when a series of large-scale studies found that students of color were getting suspended at higher rates and for more minor offenses than their white classmates. The Obama administration urged districts to cut down on disparities in school discipline.
School districts and cities around the country, you know, have responded in many different ways, but primarily, you know, the driver is let's get these numbers down.
Sarah Yatsko is a researcher with the Center on Reinventing Public Education at University of Washington.
What ends up happening is that schools find ways to do essentially what they were doing before, but just to document it in a different way, or not document it at all, perhaps. The ability to track accurately what is actually happening in these numbers will drive our ability to solve the problem.
The problem she's talking about here is school discipline. Consider the school where Jocelyn Guerrero sends her kids. In the last year schools in Miami-Dade were allowed to suspend students, Georgia Jones Ayers suspended close to 40% of its student body.
Because you cannot have class and have chaos.
Robert Malone has been a regular substitute teacher there for years.
What's the big picture? The big picture is having 30 kids, 25 to 30 kids in your classroom and having them to learn. And if you got 4 or 5 cats, well, I refer to them as knuckleheads, being a disruption, we can't do that. This is not like knocking on the door and running. We're talking about actual fighting. We had situations where, you know, there may be some drugs and that kind of thing. I mean, it was bad.
Malone says he understands the motive behind the district's drive to end suspensions, but it's not an easy fix. Schools that have felt the impact of the change most starkly are largely schools with a high concentration of poverty and all the challenges that brings. Students who didn't get enough sleep, students who've had to move a lot, students who've grown up with a parent behind bars or in communities racked by gun violence. To really make a dent in all that, Malone says,
you need to have more committed counselors, probably need to have a couple of therapists on site,
And instead of sending kids to success centers off-site, Malone says the district should work to improve the way discipline is handled inside schools.
Whatever goes on in a success center is that changing behavior. And clearly, it don't appear to be.
Teachers were reluctant to go on the record. WLRN spoke with six teachers at four different schools who described inconsistent and often ineffective approaches to managing school discipline. Referrals for behavior get backlogged. Schools short on staff sometimes reassign teachers whose job it is to supervise students who get kicked out of class. And while the district has hired some additional counselors, teachers say they don't get the support they need at schools with serious discipline issues. Teachers Union President Carla Hernandez-Matz.
Teachers hear about these success centers, but when you don't train teachers or the staff on what their focus is and how to process a child that needs to be in one of these centers, you know, it's going to create other problems because people don't know how to work through the process.
5 years ago, a school district outside Seattle called Highline became one of the first in the country to try to get to zero out-of-school suspensions, except in cases that endanger students or staff.
While everybody supported that on paper, I'm not sure people really understood what it meant.
Superintendent Susan Enfield is the one who initiated the change.
I think it ended up being a lot bigger and harder than folks had anticipated.
What it meant, Enfield says, was changing the basic relationships between adults and kids in a school. Highline spent a year holding community meetings and doing planning sessions with a group of 40 principals and teachers. They hired more staff and set up something like Miami-Dade's success centers inside each middle and high school. But there were still lots of problems.
Principals, in some cases, were just sending kids home and not calling it a suspension so their numbers would look good, which is actually kind of illegal and unethical. And they weren't doing it to be illegal or unethical. They thought they were doing what was right. So on more than one occasion, I've had to get in front of principals and say, look, you guys, I am not interested in fake data. I am not interested in artificially low numbers.
District administrators continue to say out-of-school suspensions in Miami-Dade have dropped to zero. I'm Rowan Moore-Garrity in Miami.